And welcome to Weather and Ag in Focus. Want to thank everybody for joining us on this hump day, Wednesday afternoon, 106 in the afternoon. Temperatures struggling. Cloud cover here in the FM area, keeping temperatures down into the 60s. There are some clearing skies in the far southern valley. Hoping it makes that up here before the afternoon is done, allow our temperatures to warm up. Want to welcome Bridget, our wonderful, talented ag director, and Justin Storm, meteorologist in charge here. How's your afternoon going?
So far, so good. Dean, how are you?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Day closer to Friday.
Yeah, there you go. Day closer to retirement, right?
I don't know about that, but probably. We'll see. Is there going to be any retirement?
I mean, technically. It's a day closer.
Well, it is a day closer. Whether any of us can afford it or not, that's another question. So what do you guys have planned for anything fun? Well, Bridget, we know where you're at. You're still down in Boone. Hey, did you get Quick Dick McDick's autograph for me?
Oh, I'll see him tonight. You want me to take care of that?
Would you please? That'd be awesome. Yeah, even if it's like...
I'll see what I can do.
If he's got any self-portraits that he signs for you, I could frame that and put it in the weather office. That'd be awesome. We'd appreciate
that. I'll see what I can do. I'll ask him if he's willing to send something.
Okay, great. How's the show going down?
By the way.
Down south.
Well, you said it's struggling to get to 60, and here I am struggling to find shade and air conditioning. if you want to go look up the weather for the Boone Ames area... Ooh, dog, she's hot. It's better than yesterday, but it's not awesome. When you are, let's just say that if someone wanted to set up like an Old Spice deodorant station somewhere on the grounds, they would be mega millionaires after today. It's warm.
84.
But well attended. It feels way worse. Yeah. Let me just guarantee you that.
Dew points of 70. Dew points of 70, so that doesn't help.
No, and so... Really, when you see people walking around today, the fact that there are so many here is almost a little bit amazing. There's a tremendous number of farmers, no doubt quite a few exhibitors, but they should be able to hit their, 175 to 200,000 people across 600 acres. And just by the 80,000 golf carts alone, they're going to get there because there is a golf cart hang up all over the place. You get to an intersection of like the walking paths, you gotta wait for the carts to clear to get across. It's wild.
Man, that just sounds crazy. So, in your last day or so down there, Bridget, what have you gone and done and seen, and what would you say is the coolest thing that you've gotten to see or experience?
Okay, what happens at farm shows? Which I apologize, I'm kind of in a dark area here where they in the media tent, so I'm trying to adjust some light so it doesn't look like I'm hanging out on like a Saturday Night Live skit. But anyway, what are the things that you can do? So realistically, your days, if you want to, are completely full. There's 600 acres worth of exhibition booths. That also includes the fact that many booths have speakers. So, for instance, yesterday I was in John Deere's booth at about noon. Rob Sharkey, who is a good friend and he's been on the show with us before, he was speaking. Also, they had Zach Johnson, Millennial Farmer, with them. Earlier in the day, I was in Case IH's booth. They had Max Armstrong, who we know from being on the show with us as well, a longtime farm broadcaster. And then as you move around, our friends from Acres TV, many of the other shows that are on Acres, they're over at the AgCo tent. Kubota had a ride and drive today, and you could do that with Ross. Is it Ross Chasen? I have to go look this guy's name up. He's a NASCAR driver. He was here, and he was doing autographs, and you could do the ride and drive with him. You had the opportunity to go and test drive the new Case Combine. They had one in a field that was actually combining corn. You got demos with a number of the tractors that are here. I mean, there's just stuff going on every single place you stop. If you walk into a tent, they're demonstrating nozzles, booms, green eye technology, which is like the cameras that can see what's going on off the boom of your sprayer. And then I saved this one just for you guys. There are drones. There's a lot of drones. But this particular drone, if you can see the postcard picture, this drone is actually a helicopter.
Wow.
And they gutted the helicopter, put in like the gear for the spray tank, etc. It's got booms on it, and you do see boom sprayers out there from time to time on a helicopter. But this one's gutted on the inside, And so it's got a higher payload than most of our drones. They talk about carrying 110 gallons. Yeah, you have to have some special licensing for this. Not, you know, as far as a drone pilot, you're going to need the drone license, but then you're also going to need some pretty good practice to be able to fly a helicopter remotely to spray your fields. So imagine that.
Wow. That's just cool. Insane. I mean, you don't think of a full-size helicopter. So is this just, I would imagine there's probably cameras on boards to give it a point of view from the pilot's spot versus eye of sight.
Totally. And then if there's a comparison chart on the, there's a comparison chart on the back. So if you want to compare this helicopter versus what you're doing with like the big DJ-1 drones, or if you're looking at an AgCat, or AgTractor, you know, we've got these, the yellow spray planes that you're familiar with seeing. But yeah, this is the comparison of it. Anybody want to take a little guess at what they think the price tag was?
That was my next question.
Now, keep in mind, this has not yet passed all FAA hurdles, and they are coming out of New Hampshire. But what do we think that the cost of just my new giant helicopter drone might be?
$75,000.
I'm going to go $720,000.
Justin, you're closest.
Wow.
$990,000. So we are just under $1 million. Just under $1 million for this thing.
I was close.
Holy moly.
I don't know that they're going to sell any, because you're going to have specialized training to run this thing versus most drones that you would be running. You're going to need to just think about the area in which you want to cover. And they don't have all of their FAA regulations met yet. So I can't tell you where that thing's going to go, but it's a talking point. And I know I'm one of them talking about it. Wow. Yeah, it's very different.
I would imagine it would get... It'd be difficult to start transporting something like that because, you know, the larger an item, the harder it is to move. And I would, maybe you could fly it some distance to just the next airport and fill it back up with fuel. But even then, if you run out of product, you got to have the product up there too to refill it.
There are helicopters that get used for right of race spraying already. Now, those are manned helicopters, and I see those from time to time. Usually they have a trailer built so that it's almost a double decker and your helicopter can land on the top deck of your trailer so you can refuel and reload for spraying right on the trailer. So you don't always have to go back and forth to an airport depending on where you're at.
That's kind of cool.
And I will tell you, I have run into
that.
You start building a trailer. I've seen all sorts of them down here and just ideas of how a spray trailer could look. And also a number of North Dakotans. I've run into quite a few folks from our region that stopped to say hi. So it's been kind of neat just to be able to walk around. People are going to say, well, why would you even go? But that equipment is expensive. There's nothing you're going to buy there. But the reality of this is bigger than that. Shows like this are not only to see what's possible, what small things might fit on your farm that would be more economically feasible for you. But I tell you what, the exchange of information. But my group sat down at lunch with a couple of folks that are bankers out of Ohio. That was fun conversation. And that's what these types of farm shows are about, is the information exchange. Some of you may choose to vacation at the Grand Canyon. Some of us choose to vacation at farm shows. That's what I'm doing.
There you go. And I'm sure we're getting all sorts of great guests that we're going to have on the show down the line scheduled from down there, right?
I have lined up a pile of people. And funny to run into guests that we've already had. Folks like Three Daughters Pasta, you know, the Sproul Daughters. Yes. And, you know, we've had them as a guest, and they're down here exhibiting. But you're exactly right, Justin. I have picked up all sorts of cards and ideas of people who will be guests for us coming up in the future. And that's even a bigger part of this show.
Hey, if you see those pasta girls, let them know that I buy their pasta quite often. It's really good. We've actually fully switched over to it, at least the noodles that they have.
I like what they've got, and they most recently have brought spaghetti noodles up to their lineup as well.
Oh, right on. I'm going to have to get some of those as soon as they come in stock up here in Hugo's then.
Yeah, it's a pretty neat deal that we can say we know those guys. later on in the show, I want to talk about Farm Rescue because they're here as well. Mm-hmm. And I spent some great time with the folks from Farm Rescue. Looking forward to seeing them at Big Iron. But yeah, we've got much to cover today. In fact, I have a copy of the Farm Progress official program. And if you can see that on the live stream, you know, it's like 80 pages. it's pretty good sized.
That's a very good sized little catalog there, Bridget. We'll get to all that. We'll hit on Farm Rescue, a few topics that we're going to get to this afternoon. One of them is a rapid loss in farmland, as well as research being done here in Fargo on monarch butterflies. And we got a couple from yesterday. I think pasture and forage management will hit on. Additionally, we got to check on the forecast. There is risk for severe weather today through tomorrow across North Dakota into Minnesota. And we have Dumb Off Trivia, and we have some bison stuff to give away as well. So we might have to steal an hour from Jay Thomas's show, but we'll try and see what we can get done here in the next 45 minutes. If you want to be a part of the program today, feel free to join us. Give us a call, 701-293-9000. Or you can reach us via email. That's weatherorag@flagfamily.com. You can also watch us live each and every single day or go back in time whenever you want to see our past shows on Facebook and YouTube Live. Just search Weather and Ag in Focus. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for joining us. And thank you for listening to what's been happening in Boone, Iowa this week with the Farm Progress Show. Upcoming for next trade show events, one is going to be Big Iron. Big Iron will be held September 10th, 11th, and 12th. That will be in West Fargo, North Dakota. And we're going to be joined on one of the days that we're there. I think it's on the Tuesday, the first day, by Art from North Dakota Sweet Crude. He's going to be bringing us some samples. We're going to test drive those. And if you happen to be right there at Big Iron, you might want to stop by and see what our reactions are. Usually, it's a pretty big smile. And if you're wondering what you can do to use North Dakota Sweet Crude over the Labor Day weekend, go to crudespirits.com and you can find their recipes and start making some tasty drinks to get you through the weekend.
How much are they going to bring, Bridget? Are we going to need an Uber home from there?
Well, he brought a thermos last time.
Yeah.
That works.
Plenty.
Yeah.
This could be a
thermos.
Plenty. Yes. So while down here, I ran into Jim Euland. Jim is our farmer who was our cooperator last year for our Here We Grow project with soybeans. So a big thank you to Jim for all the work that he and his son Michael did for our project. This year, we are cooperating with Trigby Skolness, Parker Skolness, and Justin Magnuson, AB Seeds. And thank you to North Dakota State Services as well as Red Wing Shoes who have made it possible for this project to go forward. We are planning to donate our profits to Farm Rescue. They're here, and I feel like I maybe should have been wearing my Red Wings all day. That was probably a good shoe choice for a day like today, walking the pavement mm-hmm. so much. Should have thought yeah. that out. So many things going on here.
Sure, sounds like it. Well, I don't know. I'm kind of lost here. We have so much stuff to do. I'm trying to figure out in my brain how we're going to get it all done, and I guess we'll just rapid fire through it. Why don't we start off with a couple of our ag topics, Bridget? Let's get caught up from yesterday, because there's a couple from yesterday that we weren't able to get to, at least one. And this was the pasture and forage management.
Okay, here's Bridget flipping through her sheets to make sure she finds all of them. First of all, for those of you who have pasture land as well as hay land, etc., we know that as we get towards this time of the year, our drying window for hay can be shrinking. It depends on our humidity and so forth. Well, one way that you can extend getting your hay the way you want it before you bale it up is use a hay preservative. The upper moisture content threshold will really depend on your bale type and size, and then a preservative helps you with a little bit of flexibility, making sure it's taken care of. Also, mid-August through early September is a really good time to seed some new stands of alfalfa, complete your pasture renovations, start taking soil tests as you're planning ahead for more. So get ready to do those things now and, again, through early September so that you're making sure that your alfalfa as well as your pastures are ready to roll for next season. You know, for a while there, we weren't getting a whole lot of rainfall. Pastures may have had some concerns with grazing. Maybe we were drying out. But also, if you want to look at suppressing grass in the spring, you could be seeding with a no-till drill. So that way, you've got an option here to get some seeding done and looking forward to having a better quality stand in the spring. So keep that in mind with pasture and forages for the moment.
Yeah, and speaking of pastures and whatnot, do you know if there's been any issues this year across North Dakota when it comes to blue-green algae in standing water reservoirs or anything with the nitrate level conditions making the water possibly toxic at all?
There's been some concerns. I think most of those have, you know, you can see it, right? If you walk up and you see the blue-green algae and it's a concern, that's going to catch you right away. Overall, we have not had a lot of that, but that was a warning probably in mid-July for everyone to keep an eye on that with their stock dams, mm-hmm. ponds, and streams, especially if there wasn't fresh water flowing through them. So folks have been paying close attention to that. Also, I want to make sure that one thing that we slide in today as well, just maybe slightly different off of our topics, Secretary of Ag Tom Vilsack was here today. You know it's a big farm show when Vilsack stops by to say hi, essentially. And and he did, and there was a great crowd to see him. Does that mean that there's any new news on the farm bill? Not right now. I honestly have come to believe that it's going to be somewhere right around the election before we get any activity on that farm bill, and then we're going to have 5 really short weeks before the end of the year to get something accomplished. But Vilsack basically wanted to say they're working on it. Thanks for what you do, farmers, and see y'all at the next one, if that's any way to summarize it.
Hi and bye.
Yeah. Hey, thanks. I'm here. See you guys soon.
Oh, very cool. Well, hey, this is something that I've noticed this year, and I don't know if you guys have noticed it at all, but from years past, I've seen way more monarch butterflies this year than I have in the last couple. I don't know if it's just an uptick in the population or what's going on, but have you guys seen something similar to this?
I haven't noticed as many down here in Fargo as previous years. Maybe they're migrating north towards you.
Well,
wrong direction.
It's a little different than that. I think it depends on where you are and what's around you. You know, for instance, based on my yard and garden, I see more. This is going to sound pretty horrific, but I see less smeared across the front of my vehicle than I used 2 years ago when they were, you know, actively out in all the ditches and so forth. So I think their habitat has changed. And that's not really any different than when we saw more moose move down here with Canadian wildfires. You know, they just get a new habitat area. And monarchs are doing some of the same things. Research, though, that has been done at the USDA lab right here in Fargo. Get this. Okay. I have to read this very carefully. Monarch butterfly germplasm can now be saved. Ooh. Fargo developed the first known chiropreservation protocol for successful long-term storage of the butterfly germplasm, known as sperm cells. So literally, this is the first study that can implement a technique to extract semen from the male reproductive tract in an insect, which we do commonly in mammals, but now we would be able to do it for insects like the monarch butterfly. So if we see significant decreases in population, or we need to bring them back in an area that hasn't been populated, you could do that because they are cryopreserving the sperm. Now, the population of monarchs was put on the endangered species list from 1996 to 2014, but it's really stabilized over the last 10 years across the U.S. You may see it more or less specifically where you're at, but across the U.S. it's stabilized. So, monarchs. Uh-huh.
So we got a sperm bank for monarchs. Do they have an egg freezer for the monarchs as well, or is it just the sperm?
Maybe that's the next step. This talks specifically just about the sperm of monarchs. Don't worry, when I brought this up to our morning show hosts earlier today, there was a lot of raised eyebrows and some questions that I'm pretty sure I'm unable to answer right now because I do not work for the USDA lab in Fargo.
Well, I guess, is it AI or are they going to do IVF?
I would venture a guess. It's probably IVF, but man, those are some specialized tiny tools. I don't know how they're going to do that part. But yes, we can now save the monarchs because we know how to freeze their sperm.
Right on. Extracting, it's another story.
Yes. I mean, if I call Dr. Emily Fox, our vet, and ask, how do you think this is going to happen? I'm not really sure she or I are prepared for her answer right now.
Hey, Bridget, we got an emailer wanted to know And I don't know if there used to be and there's not out there anymore, wanting to know if there was any monarch butterflies out in Buffalo. It was Minnesota, right? Or North Dakota.
No, there's Buffalo, North Dakota.
Buffalo, North Dakota.
I think that there likely is, because monarchs can be found anywhere. We're not freezing them up or caging them up in any particular spot. I think the difference
Except for Fargo.
It comes to monarchs, right, it's just where the habitat's at. And people are encouraged to, if you're concerned about the habitat for monarchs, plant some habitat, put some milkweed in your yard. They'll come back to you. And in fact, they like the older milkweed, so plant now in anticipation that they'll be joining you in time.
I was
going to say, are they attracted to any specific flower as well, or?
Milkweed. They really like milkweed.
Just milkweed? Okay. No other?
That's their favorite.
Okay.
They'll go to other pollinator species as well, but that's their favorite.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm forgetting where I was going to go with that, so it must not have been too important. But we got to hit bottom of the hour news. Maybe we'll think of it.
The old one that's supposed to be forgetting here, Justin, not you.
Yeah, well, we all have our days. We got to get caught up with bottom of the hour news. If you want to join in our conversation, feel free to do so. 701-293-9000. We got to check on the forecast coming up, as well as the chance for some strong to severe storms today, tonight, tomorrow across North Dakota into Minnesota, as well as one more ag topic, a rapid loss in farmland. We've got to give away some, bison apparel, and as well as dumb off trivia. So lots to do. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the program. Thanks for rejoining us 1:34 on this afternoon. And if you want to be a part of the conversation today, feel free to do so. 701-293-9000. That's the Red Wing Shoe line again, 701-293-9000. We're going to head over there right now, bring in Al to the program. Al, thanks for listening. What's going on today?
Hey, I got to run down to Des Moines tomorrow and then drop and hook and come back. So we got any weather down there I got to worry about?
Dean?
You took Big Al's.
Yeah. Yeah, we can take a look
at
it.
You
worried about?
This?
Yeah, go ahead.
Bridget, you want to take that one? Al, when are you leaving, Al? You said tomorrow?
I drop and hook in Fargo at 4 o'clock in the morning. So about 5 o'clock, I'm leaving for Des Moines.
You taking 29?
No, God no.
All right,
94 down to the cities and then down 35.
So you're probably
through Iowa City, through Ames.
You'll run into some the possibility of severe storms. Let's see, if you're leaving here by 5.
Yeah, it'll be fine on the way down. It's just coming back. When are you coming back?
Tomorrow night.
There's going to be a line.
You'll be driving into a line of storms through the evening.
Between about 6 and 8, you'll see a line of storms developing from Minneapolis down to Des Moines.
Okay. And I have like a half of an empty trailer, so if Bridget wants to throw something in my trailer, I could bring it home for her.
I'll keep that in mind. I might go back out and do a little bit of shopping, and if there's anything I can think of, I would let you know. But I'll tell you what. I don't know if there's room for all of the really big, pretty toys and equipment that I want to take home, because there's some awesome tractors and tillage equipment here that's pretty cool.
And if you drove one of them home, it'd take you a month or a day to get home.
It would. But I'll be driving home tomorrow, Al, so I'll wave at you because I'm taking the same route you are, just in reverse.
You do that. Okay.
Right on. Hey, okay. Thanks for listening, Al. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Al.
Right, there we go. Well, let's see. What do you want to do? Should we do the apparel giveaway first, and then we'll do a check on the forecast, hit an egg topic, do trivia our last segment?
Sure.
Okay,
yep.
All right, let's do that. So if you want a chance at winning some NDSU Bison apparel, swag, I think they're calling it, you can give us a call, 701-293-9000. Do we have those trivia cards still?
Addison... You've got
Addison's got them.
Addison.
Why don't we get a couple
you know, the first couple callers, and Addison, you choose the trivia question, and if they answer correctly, they win some NDSU swag. All right, so let's take caller number one here.
Great.
Hello, caller. Can we get your first name, please?
Yeah, Diane.
Hi, Diane. How's your day going?
Pretty darn good, guys.
Awesome. We've got some really nice NDSU swag, courtesy of Petro. PetroServe USA. So, Addison, why don't you rip off a question here real quick and see if we can get the correct answer.
Make it easy.
Addison?
No promises on an easy question.
All right.
Question.
Well, let's see what we got.
But let's see what we've got here. Okay, maybe an easy question.
Okay.
What is the second most commonly spoken language in the world?
Ooh, what is the second
most?
That is correct.
All right.
Hey.
All right. Woo, good deal.
Woo. Way to be you.
Hey, man, thanks.
Congratulations. All right, hang on the phone and Addison will get your info. And you know where our station's at, right?
Sure do.
All right, good deal. Well, enjoy the swag.
Awesome.
Boy, that was quick.
That was really fast. I thought we were going to get like a really good trivia question in, and just no one was going to get it.
Right. No.
But hey, people are smart. That was a good question.
We have smart listeners.
We do. We sure do. Sure, anyway, since we had Al call in, we were talking about the chance for storms down there from Minneapolis to Ames and Des Moines. Why don't we hit that forecast? Because that weather over there is going to originate in central North Dakota this evening and eventually work its way there tomorrow. So, yeah. Dean, what do we got for the next couple days?
Well, I'll tell you what. If you look at satellite, this is an impressive storm that's riding out of Montana. And that is a lot of spin in the atmosphere with this. And there's going to be some moisture drawn up into the Dakotas. And the Storm Prediction Center has actually put part of South Central North Dakota and North Central South Dakota in an enhanced risk for severe weather. So a little upgrade from this morning. And it looks like we're going to see showers and storms develop towards evening out to our west, mainly focusing right around the Bismarck area. And some of those are expected to be severe. And the main threat with this is going to be very large hail and damaging winds. Now, these will develop towards late afternoon, early evening, and then they will move quickly to the east-northeast. And it looks like the majority of these, at least the severe cells, are going to remain to the north and northwest of the 94 corridor. So that could affect eventually areas of the far northern valley, but I think the FM area will escape any brunt of any severe weather. But we will see those storms develop out to our west this evening, ride northeast overnight. Can't rule out an isolated storm or two here in the FM area overnight with lows into the mid-60s. And then tomorrow, depending on the speed of that cold front, the models are trying to slow it down just a touch. Depending on when that front passes, it looks like we should curtail any severe weather here unless that front really slows down and doesn't arrive until afternoon, giving us a chance to get a little more instability, thus brewing some stronger storms. But we will see a line of storms come through here. It looks like mid to late morning. Then that pushes into Lakes Country, and as it gets into more heat and humidity in Lakes Country, more severe weather expected tomorrow afternoon, and then that will spread down towards the cities as we head towards tomorrow evening. So, Bridget, you're going to be kind of driving right into that, it appears. And then that will set the stage for, after tomorrow's highs in the upper 70s, a pretty decent holiday weekend coming up. Friday and Saturday we'll have highs in the low 80s, and a cold front hits Saturday evening. That'll drop our temperatures into the upper 60s to low 70s on Sunday, and then back up into the mid to upper 70s on Monday. And then after that, looks like much of next week, got temperatures in the 80s. So some really nice weather heading our way after, again, this possibility of severe weather focused mainly to the west of the valley. But I do think there will be at least a few scattered storms, some of which could be severe, entering the valley late tonight and then possibly again during the afternoon hours tomorrow, but I think most of that will be east of us into Lakes Country. So not a bad-looking forecast.
I think I'm going to get past it. I'm hoping to be coming through the Minneapolis area like by noon tomorrow. So I think as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to miss out on a lot of that
you
stuff.
You should.
And I'm okay with it for a change.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Finally, you beat the weather instead of the weather beating you.
That gets old so fast. Speaking of things that get beat up, and I want to talk about Farm Rescue for just a minute. Had a great opportunity to visit with them here today at the show in Boone, Iowa. Farm Rescue, not that they're getting beat up, but they know that the farmers are in a lot of ways. There's been no slowdown in the amount of applications that they receive from those who need help. And so right now their volunteer list is filling. So if you wanted to get in on volunteering for Farm Rescue, please make sure to reach out to them on their website. And more importantly, if you're a volunteer who has a CDL, they really need help moving equipment around. A big part of that is because equipment's not always in the right place for the right harvest, or when it comes to planting in the spring or haying in the summer months. And they need folks who are qualified to drive the equipment, you know, the semis around. So if that's you and you want to do some volunteer work, they would love to have you. So get a hold of the folks over at Farm Rescue. It was great to see them. And oh, just a sec, they gave me something. Let me dig that out. They gave me a new hat. Farm Rescue, it says Busch Light on it.
Oh, nice.
Because they have a great partnership with Busch Light, and they've done that because of Busch Light's cans that are the corn cans, and all that profit goes to Farm Rescue. So that's been a great promotion. They are very, very pleased with that work that Busch Light does for them. So especially with the football game coming, keep drinking the corn cans and Abe, support Farm Rescue.
Just Bridget, in addition to that that photo or mural of QDM getting autographed, do you think you can have him sign one of those hats? I'm asking for a friend.
Okay, so if you want me to get QDM to sign one of the Farm Rescue hats?
I think Dean would like that, too.
He's asking for a friend.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
I will see what I can do. He's actually here. He's at the Mondego booth. I'll send him a text message here and see if we can catch up to each other at some point today.
Right on. I think the guy would really appreciate that.
I think so. And
I think so.
Maybe we can make that into something a little bit bigger as well. I think I could get something done.
Hey, look at that. Something's brewing, and something else is brewing as well. That's Dumb Off Trivia coming next. If you want a chance of being selected for us to play for you, an opportunity to win something fun and to get entered into a chance at winning a grand prize for everyone who signs up, you can sign up for Dumb Off Trivia. Just head over to our website, WDAYRadioNow.com. Just scroll to the bottom of the page with a big banner, poster of Bridget, myself, and Dean. It says, Weather and Ag and Focus Trivia. Just sign up quick. We're going to take contestants when we come back. So stay tuned. Dumb Off Trivia is next.
And welcome back to Weather and Ag and Focus. 1:48 in the afternoon and cloudy skies. That's holding the temperatures down here in the FM area, upper 60s. There are 70s to our south, but man, going to be hard to scour away these clouds as we head into the afternoon. But it's that time of the day. We're going to do a little trivia.
It is time to determine who has the biggest smart in the Dumb Off.
Did you play it twice?
Here are the rules. Dean,
no,
Justin,
three times.
Bridget, and Addison will play on the listener's behalf. They will go through two or three rounds of the most grueling trivia questions on the planet. Whoever has the most points at the end will be awarded the big smart. The contestant they're playing for will win a prize, and all contestants will be entered into a drawing for the grand prize.
Oh, this ought to be good. This will either be the greatest or dumbest thing I've ever heard.
All right, so here we go. We are playing. Let's see, I am playing for Greg H. Justin, you're playing for Tina F. And Bridget, you're playing for Christy K. So, let's hand this over now to our wonderful producer, Addison. He's got the questions for us. And again, first person to shout out your name will get a chance to answer.
Yeah.
And
hey, Addison, could you just pod the PC down just a little bit?
Yes. There you go. Okay, I have scoured the banks of trivia that have been bestowed upon me to find the questions that don't tie into each other at all. So here we go with the first question. White asparagus is green asparagus that hasn't been exposed to the sun. True or false?
Dean? False.
No. Well, so who wants a free point? Who wants to go second after Dean?
Bridget? So because of my delay, I would like to go to the opposite of Dean. I'm going to say that's true.
We'll give you that one. That's true. That's true. That was a well-earned point. Hard fought for.
Okay.
All right. Second question here. All right. Which tiny spotted critter can fly 37 miles an hour at altitudes of 3,600 feet when it's not busy defending gardens from pests?
Dean. Justin.
Dean got it first.
I'm going to guess hummingbird.
No.
Ladybug.
Yes, Justin got it.
Really?
Trivia card makes a note to say, ladybug, more accurately called a ladybird beetle. I have never in my life heard anyone be like, look at that ladybird beetle. Ever.
Oh, yeah, huh. But they're true. And actually, there's different varieties of them. Like in soybeans, we look for a Asian beetle because that's the one that will control soybean aphids most frequently.
We're learning here. We're gaining knowledge together. We're all getting the big smart today. thank you for the knowledge, Bridget. All right.
Next one.
Oh, that's a hard question. All right. Well, let's do a different one. Why don't astronauts eat bread in space?
Bridget? Because it expands and it makes it difficult for their stomachs.
No, but that's an interesting point of view answer.
I was kind of thinking the same.
Astronauts are not like birds.
Wow. Aww. Why don't they eat bread in space?
So you would just be up in the International Space Station up there eating croissants all day? Or?
What's the answer?
I have no clue.
It crumbles.
Really?
Floating crumbs can be dangerous in space. You're going to get crumbs all up in your science stuff.
I guess so.
Good point.
Huh. Don't want crumbs in the science. All right. Which U.S. president jokingly said his favorite food is broccoli?
Dean?
Bridget?
I believe it was George Bush.
No? Bridget?
So I was actually on George Bush the first.
Oh. No, it is not. Any stabs, Justin, you want to take?
I'm not sure.
All right, well, if no one... Does anyone want to take a second stab, then?
Yeah, well, let's just move on to the next one.
It's one guess. You can't take... Who was it?
It was Barack Obama.
Oh, jeez. Okay. We'll try another one. Man, right. What are we, 1-1? 1-1-0.
Next one.
Yeah, you got one.
All right. What breed of dog was Buddy, widely considered to have been the first seeing eye dog to enter service in the United States?
You re-say the question?
What breed of dog was Buddy, widely considered to have been the first seeing eye dog to enter service in the United States?
Bridget, I think you had an answer, but I'll go next.
Bridget?
Okay, I'm gonna go with the yellow lab.
No, but yellow labs are very cute. It should have been one. Justin?
It's a golden retriever.
Nope.
Okay. Dean? I'll try German Shepherd.
Yes, actually.
Red and orange.
Yeah, yes. Red and orange.
Red and orange German Shepherd. There it is. All right. Second question. Which implement, long used in cattle driving, is capable of breaking the sound barrier?
Justin? Is it a whip?
It is a whip.
Ooh. Ah, let's go.
It is a whip.
Yep, I bet it's a big bull whip.
I'm pulling away, you guys.
What's that, 2-1-1?
Slow start, but I'm pulling away. Dean, did you get one right?
Yeah, I got the last one right.
Yeah.
Pay attention, 2-1-1. Storm. Lock it up.
Yep. Well, I got like 5 monitors here. They're all doing different things right now.
Well, pay attention. You don't need to monitor 5. Let's go.
I'm trying to harvest my soybeans in Farming Simulator.
You're here to work. All right, Addison, let it rip.
All right. Which of the following does not have an exoskeleton? A scorpion, a crab, or a shark?
Justin?
Shark. It is a shark. That was a pretty easy one. I was expecting that to be a trick question. I didn't read the last one. That's about as...
Justin's pulling away here.
I'm really pulling away here. You guys only got a couple opportunities to catch up.
Come on, Bridget.
All right.
I'm on a delay.
Bridget's got that gamer delay. Justin's got the superior gamer chair. Houseplants act as a natural air filter to reduce indoor air pollutant. True or false?
Dean.
True.
True.
It's true.
We might have to skip away from the true and falses.
Yeah, those ones are kind of weird.
They're a little goofy.
That's because Justin's worried that we're going to catch them. That's why.
All right, what do we got next?
All right. Let me see here. The capital city of Delaware shares its name with which British port town famous for its chalky cliffs?
Dean?
Dover.
Bridget.
It is Dover, yes. Good job, Dean.
Wow, look at that.
You're tied up. We're tied up, Storm.
All right. Which historical figure is cast in bronze and stands atop Philadelphia's City Hall?
Bridget.
Bridget?
Benjamin Franklin.
No. It's a good guess, though.
Aww.
Justin.
Thanks.
Justin?
Thomas Jefferson?
No. I clearly didn't pay enough history in history class. I don't remember who this is.
I have no clue, so I'm not going to bother.
What do we got?
William Penn.
Oh, that was my third guess.
That was who was your second guess?
I don't know. All right, well, we got to get a tiebreaker between me and Dean here. We're just about out of time.
Down to the wire.
All right. Which former NASCAR driver shared a nickname with Elvis?
Bridget!
Bridget?
Come on, let me in.
You got it.
It was Dale Earnhardt.
Not according to my trivia card. I'm going to have to say no.
No. All right. We got another one. We got like 30 seconds left.
All right. Let's see. All right. Oh, that's a true and false question.
Yeah, just do it.
Okay. All right. Apples and strawberries belong to the same plant family as roses. True or false?
Dean.
Justin.
Dean?
False.
Justin. True.
Yeah, Justin got it right.
Ah!
Yeah. Who'd I win for, Dean?
I think you had Christy K, didn't you?
Christy?
I believe so.
Right on, Christy. You're going to get an email on what you're winning. If you want to sign up for trivia, you can always do so on the website, wdayradionow.com. I think that's going to wrap it up for the show today. Appreciate everybody tuning in and listening.
It wasn't Dale Earnhardt. It was Richard Petty. Ah, I was so close.
Too late.
So close. All right. See you later. Bye.